Jay, thank you very much for the participation. We are going to start the English medium weekly discussion, maybe 1 hour. We have the appointed topic, our traditional one. So before going to the book, I would like to open the discussion. If you have any common topic or any opening topic to be suggested, or any interview reports or something like that, we will take a few minutes before going to the book where we stopped the last time.
Swaminathan.
Yeah. Hondai.
Yeah, there is one report we have received to present at your permission.
Yes, please. Yes.
Yeah. Meditation report. Today I did walk-in meditation for half an hour. Today I noticed that my feet were quite cold. I also noticed that I was walking slower than I normally did. However, as I walked, the speed of my walking would change quite often. Today I got distracted a few times by thoughts and sensations in my body. When I walked, the middle part of my foot never touched the ground. The front part of my foot touched the ground before the back part. During my meditation, I tried my best to point my head in a suitable direction. I feel as though this may have limited my ability to focus on the feet. After this, I did sitting meditation for 30 minutes. Today, my breath was at a normal temperature throughout my meditation, so I didn't notice much difference. However, similar to my walking speed, the speed that I would breathe at fluctuated throughout my meditation. Today, I mainly breathed through my nose, but sometimes I would breathe through my mouth. At the end of my meditation, I felt quite restless and wanted to open my eyes. However, I kept them closed until the end of my meditation. Thank you for listening listening to my report. Please advise me, Bhante. Teruvan Sannai Bhante. He's a 12-year-old person, Bhante.
12 years, yes. Only one sentence I would like to draw my attention regarding the walking meditation. She is very nicely explaining the heel, the ball and the touch and the rub sensation and all the kind of thing. And one specific statement is the middle arch is not being touched. It is not being experienced. So this is the opening to Nibbana. All the touching points and the feeling is the samsara. So when you are observing the samsara fair enough, you find a lot of in-between untouchable areas, so unperceivable areas. Sometimes you feel like in the area-wise, sometimes you feel like time-wise, time and space-wise. So in the walking meditation, it is well mentioned, and you can see where there is no touch, very specific genius characters. The not touching areas, no beginning, no middle, no end. Touching, you have the beginning, the middle and the end. Pleasurable or unpleasurable. No touch means no beginning, no middle, no end. That means Nibbana. So in that screen only, in that canvas only, all the touches are happening. They are never 100%. And quantum physics, they say, touchable areas less than 2%. 90% of the screen, you can't feel it, but you exaggerate the 2% into 98%. That is mental proliferation. And then hardly, unless otherwise you promote your own report, hardly you can feel untouchable areas. But that is what we have to promote. And 12 years old, she's been now undergone a lot of interview reports, and she is now occasionally writing, these areas I can't feel, there is no touch. Now, darling, you have to see these untouchable areas where the arch we call, you know the arch, the leg, this area, yeah, this part is the arch, There is no beginning, no middle, no end, no symptoms, and you can't locate it. Now you can see locating relative to the heel and the ball. Heel and the ball are the peripheries. But the untouchable areas, no space, no time, no indication, no pivotal point. So Buddha mentioned, appatittita anidasana. There's nothing upon which the blank is resting upon. The heel you can see resting upon the ground. You touch it. But this is no pivotal point, no stump, and no sign. Heel you can say it's a hard, warm, cool, and rough, smooth, all the characteristics. You can't. But our senses are to escape these untouchable areas. That is we call shunyata or emptiness, which is four terms Buddha used. Sunyato, tuchato, rittato, anattato. Sunya means empty. Ritta means there is nothing substantial in it. Tuchato, sunyato, rittato. Tuchai. Even if it is there, it is no any value. Anattato, there is no self. Self can't take footage because it is not on a footage. So this is the part I doubt whether the 12-year-old can understand it. I mean, definitely I know she has the same equal rights and equal potential like me to understand it. Kumara did.
Yeah, how was that?
Can you see in the sitting meditation also, was there any such a relevant part? Because I would have missed it, even had in the sitting report
can
also.
Can I repeat the paragraph again?
Yes.
Can I read the paragraph again?
You have to read it and repeat only the necessary part. That is what the Kumara means. You read yourself, and yes, if they are irrelevant, please read for us. Ame kakli vil anadde.
Swaminathan, there's one call. However, similar. What he says is, so I didn't note his temperature, that my breath was at a normal temperature throughout the meditation.
Yeah, that is the touchable part.
Yeah, that is one part. And after that, what he says is, however, similar to my walking speed, the speed that I would breathe had fluctuated throughout my meditation.
Please repeat it.
Today, my breath was at a normal temperature throughout the meditation. So, I didn't notice much difference. However, similar to my walking speed, the speed that I would breathe had fluctuated throughout my meditation.
What fluctuations he is talking about? The screen or meditation as a flux?
Fluctuated the breath, I suppose.
Yeah, so breath can be appeared as a fluctuation or flux. Or breathing is happening in the screen of flux. That is not clear. You have anything to...
Yes.
Speed of the breath? Yeah, that means the breath is taking another shape, another manner. It is like a wave. It's like a silver line. It's like a vibration. So, breathing can be happen in the fluctuating screen, or breath itself appear like a fluctuation, or speed appear like a wave, or like a dot lines, or dust, or whatever. That is the way the breath is evolving. It's going into different shapes. Earlier it was like a smooth thread like, can be changed, but maybe I am imagining. But very clear, in the walking meditation, there is a part, with respect to the touchable part, not touching. And she has specifically spared one sentence. That's the brighter side of the report. So the breathing is not, would have gone, but not explained. So I would like to know this, our participants, do you have any comments about this 12 years old, the about the report?
Swaminathan, I just was wondering should we try to watch more the arch and see what that's like?
That means conditioned mind.
Mm.
No. That is, if you are observing all the possible shapes and the manners, the space and time of the leg, it is unavoidable you to see some parts are not touching. That is your deductive knowledge. That is your deductive knowledge or inferential knowledge. That is you are born with. When you are looking at this wall, you can see it is not smooth. So there are some patches and there are some black spots. But you see it is a yellow color, no problem. But there are some patches. So when I was sitting on an assembly in the school, I am in the front in my class. All must be beside. And sometimes we play in our school anthem. So I just gaze at the wall. And I sometimes see one dot and it's disappearing, yellow happened, again the dot happened, again disappearing. Then I think, what happened to me? Sometimes I see the dot, sometimes not seeing. When it is not seen, I imagine wall is white. And when I see the dot, I see one spot. And I am looking at about 5 minutes. And thing gets hazy and again the dot happened. Again this thing happened. So I thought I am crazy. And one day when I become 40 years old, I told Venerable Jnanaram. Sometimes I am walking, I can remember exactly the each and every junction, each and every person, something we are eating or something like that. Sometimes I come back, I stop. I look at backward and that part I don't know. I have walked and I have not seen that tree. It's a prominent tree. I have not seen that house. I have not taken that bin. What happened? So I feel like that memory is cheating me. So when I am telling on the 40th birthday, 1992, he told you would have meditated last life also. I understand gaps in my memory. And that is a bad thing for education. You can't remember what the teacher is telling. Other parts are yes. But remembered, anchored, I can repeat. So my family members are very bright. They have very good memory. But the moment you see untouchable, no memory, you are very thorough. That is not a no experience, it's an experience. That experience is the way out for the Nibbana. So you have to study what is available, what is impinging. But one day you will understand it is not 100%. There are some. For example, whatever the machine you are doing, making, lever machine, no petrol machine, no electric, never 100% efficient. Friction is there. Never 100%. So bloody fools send bowler racers to the space and see when the bowler race is turning, can in the space they can experience 100% efficiency. Because this is working under the gravity. Bowler racers, ball is not round.
The bowler race?
Bowler racer?
You don't know.
You are a fool, American.
Yes, of course.
Roller racer? Bowler race, ball race, ball, how do you say? Bearing?
Bearing? Like a ball bearing.
Ball bearing, roller bearing?
Metal.
Yeah. This ball is never round in the gravity. They want to send it to space and to get the 100% efficiency. Bloody fool, you can't run a car in the space. But as far as you are in gravity, as far as you have tanha, you can't see. 100% impossible. 100% efficient. The bloody fools are making it is efficient more and more. 100% never. I mean, rough people make it 70%. German may take it 80%. Japan may make it 90%. But no one is 100%. Impossible. Likewise, when you keep your hand apply your pain, keep it in a flat place, you can see the hand, the lines. That is because they are not touching. And if you have carvings on the walls and the rock, What the people do, it is put a pen and put a paper and smear it. And then the paper take, you can see all the carvings. That's how the negative and the positive is working in the photography. So when you see the negative in your photos, earlier we used to have Kodak films and all that, now it is gone. And there you can see you appear like a ghost. Have you seen negative?
Yes.
Then that is why you became a monk. That's why you renounce the world, because you appear like yourself as a ghost. The negatives are positive, positives are negative. Then you get the positive and they are very beautiful and makeup and everything. So Buddha is asking to see the positive and see it is being developed from a negative. Understand? Understand?
No.
No, in the Kodak films, have you seen negative?
Yes, I have.
Negative is giving a positive. You are developing into the positive. You get the photo.
Yes.
But the cameraman, the studio is keeping the negative. If you go again, they can make another positive. Whenever negative is put into certain situation and it become a positive. That is silonitrate. Negative is silonitrate. This is positive. This is how Schrodinger mentioned. Schrodinger energy waves will collapse into matter when the consciousness interacted. Negative is make a positive once the studio man made the jugglery, and then you get your photos. He make that photos out of a negative. Not in electronic age. I am talking about the 40 years ago. Everything coming from a negative. Our senses do not know how to tackle negative. It appears like a destructive, nihilistic. But everything positive is coming from negative. So after a while you look at the positive thorough enough that you see there are signs in the positive about the negative. It carries some anicca dukkha anatta, three signata. People wanted to see positive, but each and every positive is having impermanent suffering and non-self character. Once you see, you cannot not to see. You never not to see. Because it's such a insight you develop. Once you see, every positive thing is a camouflage, makeup, gloss over. Painting, by painted upon a screen. If the painting is attractive, you can't see the screen. But screen, without screen, Buddha says, you can't paint. Am I too much?
No, Swami Nansa, it's very interesting, this... So seeing, well, we look at anything and there's so many details, but if you were to see the negative of that, it would look... Like that white thing would look black, and the dark things would look white.
Yeah.
But we want to see the positive. We tend to go towards the positive, the details. It reminds me. I heard somebody giving a meditation instruction to beginners, and he said, "If we're too smart, then it's very hard to meditate." But, you know, I've heard you also say, don't be too smart, because we get attracted to all the details.
But today, not the meditators. Masters are too smart. Completely conditioning disciples. All the meditation masters on the earth, they are conditioning disciples to see this and see that and see this. They go and say, yes, Bhante, I see it. I see my eye consciousness. I see my eye sensitivity. I see my ear. I see the sound waves. Bloody fools. Because the masters are too smart. Conditioning. That is the one disproved by Robertson writing I can't remember the name. He disproved the transcendental meditation. These mantras and everything is bullshit. Relaxation response. Book went 3 million copies. All these things are your placebo. Placebo. Placebo.
Placebo.
If you think there are, yes. If you think black spots are there, yes. If you see good things, yes. If you see nothing, nothing. So teacher condition you to see things. I'm using the term, please excuse me. Samatha means that. People are mad. I mean, you have to have samatha, you have to concentration. But don't think concentration is nibbana. This is the difference between mindfulness and the consciousness, concentration. People are mad, just like drug addicts, just like womanizers, just like gambling. Exactly the same. You are gambling with your own life. In America, gambling is free for the original Americans. Singapore, originals, Singaporean has to pay $500. For foreign, it is free. In Australia, they give dole to the aboriginals to drink and die. They are all drunkard. With enough money given, I think something similar happening in little bit in New Zealand. But Maoris are little brainy. They are little brainy. And Sri Lankan Adivasin, I don't know how to say aboriginals, they are now meditating. They are not killing animals. They take 8 precepts. They have put up a temple. They have put up a shrine. They have put up a dagab. And asking me, Blante, please come and save 200 aboriginal children. If you can save one, enough. But they are killing people. They are addicted people in the forest. Now, they say, you bloody civilized people kill Sri Lanka. You consider we cornered us as aboriginals, but we have some values. Africans, African wizards, they had the whole knowledge. Everyone killed. For the sake of civilization. But they had some kind of a knowledge. They are also living. They are also happy. They are also in the pleasure principle. But they preserve the nature. They try to understand what maybe we are dying. We are not keeping anything signs. But the present civilization, you see, wherever you go, you put signs. Shitting. Shit. The aboriginals, when they are living, hardly any signs, because they are just living, adapting to the present situation, live in a cave. If someone died, he leave the cave. But present people, they can't leave their house. Because it's such an investment. So that is how we have to come back again to our original knowledge, where it can see. It's called very beautiful name in Japanese culture. When a ceramic ware, we have marks, the splits. How do you call it? When the ceramic become very old, you have crack signs. Yes, that's a very value-added thing. They fill the cracks with gold. And keep it in a showcase. That is, they appreciate the elderly people. American society, present day Japanese, younger generation is the bright and all the kinds of makeup and kind of thing. But elderly people, Daniel Goleman wrote, Going to Pieces Without Falling Apart. Beautiful book. Going to Pieces. But not fallen apart. When it's fallen, what has happened? The cracks are there, indicated these are the places going to crack. But our body gone to pieces, but it's not fallen apart. Just like a beehive, is bees are flying, going to pieces. But again they can come, and again they can go. But the beehive is there. Beehive means when the humidity is high, they are in a hive. When the humidity is low and sun is there, they are flying and they are collecting bees. That is not the destruction of the hive. They are really in hive. This classic example is when the cows are grazing, cowboy is just having a flute and he is in the shadow. He do not know where the cows are. If the someone come and ask, hey, bugger, you are just waiting and music playing, where are the cows? Then he get panic. But he knows in the evening, all will come to the water hole. That is why two smart people always behind the cow. Understand? Give the mic and he will explain his example.
Yes, one other thing. I've just been, this really makes sense with what I've been feeling about the way you teach and the way you've teaching mindfulness and making it very simple. And I used to think, you know, meditation was very difficult or something, but it's almost like you have to forget about everything you might know about meditation.
You are too smart. Nothing wrong. You are too smart.
Yeah.
But I am not responsible because I kept always you are messy and you are disorganized and disarray. But you become American. That bloody fellow become German. What to do? They have square mind.
It's very simple.
No, you are bloody complicated.
Yes, yes.
Very lenient. Yes. I am saying that everything smashed, gone to pieces without falling apart. Even the fall apart, I know how to refix it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I'm disturbing you.
No, that's right. When I came here, I mean, I do feel like I'm learning how you are approaching meditation, and it's a relief because there's really nothing to do. It's just paying attention, seeing what's happening and letting the process happen, letting walking happen.
So that sentence written by that 12-year soul, would they have written unconsciously? But that's the door opening to the Nibbana at the age 12. And we have to appreciate all the others are lenient mind, the systematic mind. But that indicates I can't feel the arch. What's the use of writing this in an essay? Because we are asked to see whatever you see, report. But occasionally there's a sentence, I feel among the what is feelable, there are some patches I can't feel. You see what the kind of a writing. Venerable, know anything, Ed? Please give a version about your example. When the cowboy is with the flute, cows are nowhere. He do not know, but he knows. But if I come and ask the bloody fellow, you have been paid whole one day pay, then you are just lying down. If you try to be smart and go in search of cows, he will get astray. You are very, today very stingy.
Yeah, you know, there's an intelligence that's direct knowledge. So that little boy directly knows that if he sits there and waits, the cows will come back. Whereas the intellectual person is like they're trying to control and, oh, where is the cow right now? And that guy is a fool because he doesn't have the direct knowledge. And, you know, this is the distinguishment between knowing in theory and knowing in practice. And the kind of illusion that cognitive knowledge gives us, that we can know the theory so well, then we substitute, as you mentioned earlier on about all these masters. They're wonderful telling all this wonderful theory to their students. But then the problem is that it's all confounded and nobody knows anything, actually, directly.
And the master directly. And the disciple exactly the same.
And it's a bubble, and it's a reciprocal feedback, and so the master becomes convinced that he's enlightened, and the students are convinced that he is enlightened, and everything out of his mouth is the truth, and it's all a fabrication, you know.
Because entertainment.
Well, entertainment.
Entertainment,
yes.
Exactly. Generally, don't say fabrication, that is your terminology.
You're correct. It's an entertainment because what they're really after is that they are an entertainer, and what they're seeking is attention. And instead of being somebody who is a bearer of truth and making it clear to other people. So, yes, you're right. They're an entertainer who seeks seeks attention. And that's the transaction that's happening.
That's the cause of psychopaths and the psychopaths.
That's the cause of the psychopaths and the co-psychopaths. Exactly, yes. That's the transaction right there. And, that's to be experienced again. And it's very interesting how it's those glimpses out of the corner of your eye that kind of, or that silent speech that arises in the mind when you're walking, of where you have that insight. As you said about the arch of the foot, it's a kind of an insight. You, you could say it's deductive reasoning, like you talked about the negative of the image, but it's more than that. It's an insight. You know it's true, like the little boy, again, knows it's true that the cows will definitely come out of the forest for a drink in the evening. Why? Because that's the behavior. That's what it is to be a cow and in that place. And he knows that to be true. So he has a direct contact with knowledge and truth in its own way. He can't explain it. He can't articulate it like some professor on cows. But then the professor on cows is a fool.
Professor of a cow is a cow.
Well, no, it's a fool, and because he knows the theory of everything and the practice of nothing.
Cows.
Yeah, the practice of nothing, right? So anyway, maybe we can start with the Sutta Nipata.
You are running too much. You try to be a smart. You try to be entertainer. I don't allow. I am telling, when the cows are not seen, that's the time only cows are grazing. If you are behind the cow, if you are tying and pulling, they can't graze. If the bees are not in the beehive, that means they are collecting pollens. They are not to present yes and no, head counts and bloody sheets. They are no, because the climate is good, they are gone. So one will say, oh, okay, what a desperate thing, not a single bee at the hive, and not a single cow near the cowboy. So this is the way, more you meditate, in vipassana, at the beginning you have a lot of sounds, concrete matter. Then it fades into feelings. Still the matter represented by feelings, so waves and vibrations and dust like. And then it be a sign, sanya. And then you feel like make out of that. If it is not this, I have to create. If it is available, I have to say anicca dukkha anatta. All these are fabrications. And the vijnana is very happy because all the fools are at work. Vijnana can have its own mention. So therefore, there is nothing. Let the mindfulness to run. Just to egolessness to run. Don't try to be egotistic. Don't try to explain it. Then that means cowboy is chasing behind the cows. The cows can't graze. The man is behind. So let them run. Present day, all the younger children are being misused by parents and the teachers. They're always behind. When they were children, they have done all the mad things. Lucky enough, their grandparents never poke fingers into the boys. Present day, that is not the only reason, I know. But boys and girls, they don't unconcerned, parents are committing suicide. And I know number of families, father is don't concern, mother is too much concern. Mother and father fighting, divorce about the bad behavior of the child. Father says, what to do? You have to tolerate it. Mother says, no, you are callous, you don't have humanity, you don't have compassion, our own child, you only can do it, I am a female. He says, just shut up, just wait, this is the way. The mother has no simple 1% tolerance. Father says, more than expected tolerance. He don't care. So this is the phenomena. And again, high tension go to the female side, mother side. Such a bearing, such a tension, such a hysteria in the families and in the companies and in the temples and in the monasteries. It's a cancer. I am not telling about this to the beginner. I am telling the beginner, see the left, not the right, left and see that his stiffness, tension, movements and everything. When it's come up to a certain level, then cascading starts. What is the cascading? You see lot of spots, unperceivable. It is not a negative. It is not a bad sign of the mindfulness. It is anicca, dukkha. Anatta, that's the three signata. But our mind has a fear. It sees my mind, it only sees the negative part and the cracks and all the kind of things. So if you don't see it, you will consider this world as perfect, but the world is never perfect. It's camouflage, it is a gloss over. Just see the canvas, not the picture. If anyone is having any comments, I will come. Otherwise, I will invite Venerable to go ahead to with the our traditional sutta.
Okay, so the Buddha continues in this verse from the Sutta Nipada, and he goes, "One should not delight in the old. One should not form a liking for the new. One should not sorrow over what is diminishing. One should not be attached to an attraction." So here the Buddha is telling us to not delight in the old, meaning the past. And one should not form a liking for the new, meaning be fantasizing or lost into the future or kind of fabrication, like thinking imaginative thoughts. So this is liking for the new. One should not sorrow over what is diminishing. So if we're very detailed in our observation of the present moment, we will see that everything is diminishing. It is anicca, anatta, and dukkha. So it is impermanent. And when we see impermanence, we can perceive that impermanence as falling away or diminishing. So when we watch the breath very carefully, it is arising. So that's like it is new. It is present. And then it is diminishing. It can appear as old. And in this diminishment, we experience a sense of loss. And that loss is registered as sadness. And if we can grieve properly, wholesomely, healthily, then the experience of diminishment, of things fading away, of things in decline or just passing on, dying off, we can experience these as just the way they really are. So this is very important because one should not be attached to an attraction. This attachment is that we fail to see that it is diminishing. We fail to see that it is impermanent. And instead we're attached to the sign or the aspect that this is somehow permanent. So we fail to see the ugliness in that is present in everything, and we become attached to that ideal. In a way, beauty or attachment or attraction is seeing the ideal. It's not seeing things as they really are. So this isn't about developing negative states of mind or cultivating negative states of mind. Instead, it is being informed by those negative states of mind. So when we when we see the old, when we see we remember these past thoughts, we should also understand that is a present moment thought about the past. When we imagine things and future states and activities, it's actually a present moment thought about the future. And when we see things as attractive, then we should also understand, like the arch of the foot, that we're failing to see what is ugly. And when we sorrow over what is diminishing, we are, maybe we can be informed by our sadness, but in this case, not sorrow means don't morose, don't fall into a sadness that's not processing that diminishment. So diminishment is happening all the time, and in every breath there is a diminishment, and that detailed observation of the breath gives us the opportunity to practice and cultivate a deep direct contact, a direct intimacy with the diminishment in every breath. Also, it's very important to notice the diminishment of the breath, because that's a time where these thoughts of old and new start to flood in and occupy the space of the mind, and we fail to see the whole cycle of the breath. But when we see the whole cycle of the breath, we see the beginning, the middle, and the end, and then the end is in a way the cause of the beginning. So you can see how nihilistic thinking can be very negative minded, because they see everything as an end, that it's that you only have this life, and therefore there is no future life, and that this cause, this life as we live it right now, is not. They don't understand how that's a cause, that this life we're living now is a result, or that this life we're living now will be a cause for something in the future, because they just see it as ending and finished, and then it becomes very nihilistic. And if you have nihilism, then you're not responsible. You know, if you do something, there's no consequence. So you become quite cavalier and callous. You can become immoral. And this is a failure to see the diminishment that's actually happening all the time. And when we can be informed by that diminishment of the breath, that ability to incline the mind towards the dissolution in all things, then this is a very powerful nutriment for Nirvana, I would say. But I would be very happy to hear what Mahatero has to say, and maybe you could read out what it says in Pali and in Sinhalese.
Thank you. Puranang nabinandeya nave khanting na kubbase kubbaye hiyamane na socheya akasang na sitosya. Do not be happy and delighted with the past materiality, past rupa, past corporeality. Do not be happy. Don't entertain the present, what you see, breath, the leg, the touch, and all the kind of thing. They are also passing. So don't be attached to it. It is a sign of mindfulness, but don't get attached into the each and every rupa, each and every materiality you see, corporeality you see. That's also not. Whenever they are fading off, don't regret. Whenever the breath is fading off, whenever the leg become passive, whenever become autopiloting, whenever happen effortless, that means leg is there, touch is there, but it is not so clear, not so concrete, and it's just falling apart. When that happened, don't regret. Trusna Sankhayat Akashe, the space you see in between cracks, that also have some kind of a tincture of desire or the existence. You see cracks, you see through the cracks, you see the space. Earlier you see the materiality, now materiality dissolved off and become particles-like, and it, between particles you see a lot of space. You see the canvas, but canvas also, they also have some kind of a holding capacity, just like a gravity. You can't see it. Still you are in the existence. Even the space is having ego. Even if you slowly, slowly give up with the breath, slowly, slowly give up with the touch, slowly, slowly give up with your pain, everything, and then instead the space will appear. So you will be happy. Now the materiality gone and everything faded off, everything is, how do you call, ceases to exist. And then you see, I am achieved like, but still you have the space. That space itself is having the desire, the holding capacity, sustainability, the gravity. So therefore don't attach to that space also, because the Bahudhatika Sutta, the Buddha says, have, or me, be, itself is a mental proliferation. I have Jesus to exist, I am not there, also a mental proliferation. Exactly the same trick. You have the gross breath, or you have medium breath, or you have the subtle breath. Throughout, the ego is there. Even the space, ego is there. So therefore, you have to be careful. Of course, it is happy because you have developed the breath for longer time and you have ceases to exist. And when the cracks appears and the falling apart appears, and then you are bound to see the space. That means the cessation of the breath, or cessation of the leg, or cessation of your morsel you are eating, and you see cracks. When that happens, if you don't throw parties, still the ego is there. You have to be careful, even the space, even the subtle breath, ego is undisturbed. Full-fledged. If you're happy, thinking that I am a successful yogi, my breath disappeared, and I have no ego like you, you tend to make a statement. You are a fool. Still the space is there. Let me explain this.
Repeat the translation of Bhikkhu Bodhi. Just,
yes.
One should not sorrow over what is diminishing. One should not be attached to an attraction. He uses attraction instead of gravity. Yeah.
Would you mind to read the whole stanza?
I'll even read. There's a different translation I have by.
No, Bhikkhu Bodhi is not to go for the past, not to enter in the present.
One should not delight in the old.
Yeah.
One should not form a liking for the new. One should not sorrow over what is diminishing. One should not be attached to an attraction.
Unattraction.
No, to an attraction.
A-N-O-U-N.
A-N.
An attraction means unattraction, maybe.
No, an attraction means something that is attracting. Like you mentioned, gravity is attracting the particles together.
But here it says is akasa.
Yeah, akasa is space,
Yeah, space. It is not attractive. Normal people, they have fear of akasa, fear of freedom. But this particular person developed kind of an attraction because rupa disappeared, breath disappeared, now the space. Yeah. That Bhikkhu Bodhi says it's an attraction.
Yeah.
But it is not every person. Some people have the fear of freedom.
Yeah, it's like some people like loneliness. They have an attraction to loneliness.
Yeah, that is aloneness and loneliness. Yeah. Many people aloneness is. Some people lonely. They go to the psychiatrist and say, I have nothing to do. Hang. Oh, it is lost. They have hysteria. So therefore, this statement don't cover the both. This thing, and that is the point Buddha is mentioning. He says, just as when monks on some hilltop, when rain is falling in the thick drops, that water coursing according to the slope fills the hillside cliffs and calms the gullies, these being filled up, that is not what I was. And it says, and then great rivers, name and form with the consciousness of the sixfold sense sphere, with name and the form of contact with the sixfold sense sphere, feeling with the contact of the craving and the feeling, craving with the feeling, gravity, grasping the craving, becoming with grasping of birth, with becoming, of suffering with birth. And he keep on, maybe I have selected the wrong chapter, something related, but very sharply mentioned, I am itself is a mental proliferation. I was itself is a mental proliferation. I will also will be mental proliferation. I am not there itself is a mental proliferation. I think I am not there because the breath disappeared. But still, space is there, but ego is still anchoring. You don't know where. And you are very happy to say, I am enlightened. I have nothing. I am in the spaceless area. But still, you are claiming no self. That is also itself is a mental proliferation.
Yeah, but Bhikkhu Bodhi is pointing towards something here, which is that I'm not attached to an attraction, meaning it's not about the particles, it's the space in between, as you're saying.
So that is why not the akasa. He's not talking about the akasa.
He's not saying, even the other translation here also, he says he should not be attached to fascination. So they're talking about the space in between, but I mean, that's the problem in English. English doesn't, as you mentioned, doesn't handle...
Negative
at all, it doesn't handle.
So the akasa is not being well translated there. He says something attractive. So attractive may be matter or non-matter. Akasa or something. So he has not given equal treatment for that. So properly he has not translated. Can anyone tell another translation you have? Do you have?
No, that's it. He should not be attached to fascination, or he should not be attached to an attraction.
No, I am telling instead of Bhikkhu Bodhi, someone else.
I forget his name.
Just further
Okay. Right. Yeah, yeah. Read it, please. Yeah.
No, no. Some other author, some other translators of. This is going to say the his explanation. Footnote. Footnotes.
Do you want me to read it, Swaminath? Okay. So one should not be attracted to an attraction. It is craving that is called attraction. For what reason is craving called attraction? Because of craving, one is attracted to form, feeling, consciousness, all the five aggregates, drawn toward it, grasps it, seizes upon it, and adheres to it. One is attracted to a destination, to a rebirth, to conception, to existence, to samsara, to the round. One is drawn toward it, grasps it, seizes upon it, and adheres to it.
The last part. Has he tried to mention about the akasa?
No.
That means that translation has not touched him. Akasa is something that means ceases to exist. Materiality gone. The absence of materiality is called akasa. Absence of vayo, tejo, patavi, apo. Absence of that is akasa. Buddha says some people akasa entertain as the development of the meditation, but still he is in trap. He is still the ego is there. That is very difficult because people happy. Akasa is a great achievement of the mindfulness, great achievement of the meditation, but still he can't see the hook.
What they're saying is that fear, you're afraid of something, but anxiety is that you just have generalized fear. There's no object itself. So that's akasa. It doesn't have an object. So that's the interpretation the commentary is taking and Bhikkhu Bodhi is taking and the other translators are taking. That you don't have a direct object, like an object of fear or, So it's when you have attraction as the object itself. Like we will say, you can make mindfulness your object.
Yeah.
That is akasa. You don't have an object, but mindfulness becomes the object itself.
Mindfulness see nothing.
No, you see mindfulness. You don't see the object of mindfulness. You see mindfulness.
That is the one way of interpreting.
Yeah.
But that means he don't see patavi, apo, tejo, vayu. He sees mindfulness is sustaining.
You don't see the object, but you see the mindfulness and you see consciousness.
So in Buddha Gosa Acharya, he says, you are not only meditating on the object, you are meditating on your knowledge also. Knowledge means sati at that time.
Like in Mahasi, they'll just say knowing.
Yeah.
That's akasa.
That is not sati. In knowing is knowledge.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Not sati. Sati is still in between. It then says you can develop, fabricate self with patavyapo tejo vayu, that's a normal.
But I'm just trying to understand that the commentaries and the translators are taking akasa to mean that it's referring directly to these mind states rather than the object. It's something without an object.
That is point.
Like anxiety is fear without an object of fear.
Yeah, so that means the object disappeared, but mindfulness is sharp enough, giving the chance to the clear comprehension. It says, now I can see the clear comprehension as to nothing as nothing. It sees clear comprehension itself. So that is jnatancha, jnanancha, ubhupivipas. Jnata means what you know. Jnata means knowingness, knowing. It's very rare. Very rare people see the canvas with the picture or without the picture. They say canvas is just useless thing because no artist work is not there, artifact is not there. Even the artifact is there, you can see the canvas. If there's a just blank canvas, still you can see. Because unsmeared, it's pure. But people see art work. But some people can see this, no one disturbed this one, it's just pure. Buddha says, if you give a lump of clay, if you do nothing, you are not value added, it's not to make a pot or something. If you create a pot, it can break. But if you have a lump itself, that is the not sankata, not made something. You are such a genius, you can do anything, but he do nothing. You just keep the lump as such. We can't. We can't.
But what he's talking about is the obsessiveness of somebody who sees in the, every lump they see, they want to make it into something.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
It's this obsession where for you and me it's a lump, but for that for this person it's not a lump. They have to make it. Like I've seen it with addicts. I've seen addicts and they can be addicted to anything.
Yeah,
It's very peculiar. And I was talking to one addict and he had this perfume and he was sniffing the perfume and he was sniffing it and sniffing it. And I said, why are you sniffing the perfume like this? And he said, it's amazing. I could be addicted to anything.
Yeah, yeah.
It was this addictiveness. One should not be attached to an attraction. Like you find people like, and they're addicted to attraction. They're addicted to, they have to have the fashion or the music or something like that. It's this addiction side. It's not the object. It's the addiction itself. It's the attraction itself.
It's called existence.
The fascination. They're addictive.
So
you know, it's craving itself.
He's existing. He also knows that addiction is not his immediate will. It's his character trait. His personality trait. Underlying tendency, other person can see you are addicted to smell, you are addicted to smoke, you are addicted to this and that. So indicate difference, but no one can live without an addiction. But comparing, you can see you are sniffing, you are smoking.
I've seen it with hoarders, like their place is full of stuff,
yeah.
Like to the roof. And they, you know, why are they hoarding? They get no pleasure out of the thing,
yeah.
But they get the pleasure out of the hoarding.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's the addiction to an attraction is the problem, not
so
the object.
I have that obsession.
I know you do.
My room is full of material. Wherever I go, I bring books. I bring iron tools.
It's akasa. It's no space.
When I
space.
Go outside,
you fill the space with stuff.
No, when I'm traveling, I have 4 months. I am out. Sometimes 5 months. And even in Sri Lanka, I just go to the hotel rooms and I go there, complete bed. Everything is prepared. And it's a monastery, imagine. Eh? So last time when we go there, it was made for visitors. Perfect. Just like a 5-star hotel. And you know, Singaraja, he's a hotelier. So before he went to my account, came to my room, remove everything and clean the bed. And you know, without split, I just jumped it and mashed it. Just like a naughty boy. He said, what the bhante you? I don't like this cleanliness. That is exactly you. How your mother made a man out of you. How much your sisters would have taken. You completely messed it up. Again, he cleaned it. So when I see everything is, I mean, when the water pool is very clean, I just wanted to throw a stone.
Thank you, bhante.
And then again, it calms down. So I'm waiting someone to throw, because that is a kind of a boyishness, I mean, bolstering, I want to say that, boisterous. So some people are happy with that. And I am happy when everything is messed up. I mean, unorderly manner, disorganized, disappear. Then I know I have a role, either clean or mess it up. So you are opposite, because...
No.
You can understand because he is coming daily, spend 1 hour with me in this mess. He never come and clean the places. He just sit. There are four chairs every time. Each chair is with full of robes and pillows and everything. He just find a place and he just sit. He never clean.
I'm not disturbed by your mess.
Right.
You know, I can make peace with it.
Yeah.
It's a character. And knowing you is you have to deal with this chaos and mess.
No, the whole life is a chaos.
Yeah, I know, and it's quite in detail. It's not just objects.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been trying to organize your travel plan. It's a nightmare. Oh, nightmare. God. Unbelievable.
Day by day, it is changing.
Chaos, and it's.
And I am a world daughter. Traveling like anything. I don't care because I asked the inviter, please make arrangements. Whatever it may be, I am ready. But they try to make a very good and best. Sometimes the worst it becomes. Sometimes traveling with a helper. Helper is undergoing a hell. Because he has to get up before me. And I all of a sudden start and go to the car. He has to run. He has to organize everything. He says, Bandi, it's a kind of a thing to be with you. And even in the room, difficult. So I am going to read Bahudhatyaka Sutta. So I hope... Oh, time up. Is it allowed? Steadied. We are on the tides of conceit. Mananusaya no more occur in him. Steadied, I mean, say the monk. S-T-E-A-D-I-E-D. S-T-E-A-D-I-E-D. Steadied. He has no mananusaya occur in him, and when the tides of the conceit no more occurs, he is called the hermit, stilled, muni, santo. So it was said in the Sutta Buddha, and with reference to what was this said, Buddha asking why I am telling like that. If the things are calmed down, I go, he is a hermit, he is a good meditator. Why I am telling that? Am is a conceit. I am is manyatang. Am is a manyatang, it's a mind made. I am is a conceit. I am this is a conceit. I shall be, within bracket, is a conceit. I shall not be, this is the part I wanted to tell. I am no more, my ego is gone. That's a kind of a conceit. That is the part, Buddha says, even the akasa happen, don't think it is free of desire. Desire is there. You are happy to say, I am no more. I am not be. That is the worst part in learned Buddhists. They are very happy to declare, no, I did meditation. I am all object gone. I can see the spaceless, everything. And they are conceited. So then I ask, are you once get up, are you still enlightened or still the same old fool? Because within that space also, the conceit, egotistic, is running. So this is the part. It is a conceit. I shall not be is a conceit. I shall be possessed of a form with the meta is a conceit. I shall be formless. Akasa is a conceit. I shall be percipient. That also
knowing.
Knower.
Knowing, yeah. Percipient is to know.
Is a conceit.
Yeah.
I shall be non-percipient is a conceit. I shall be neither percipient nor non-percipient. Nevasanya nasanya is a conceit.
Yeah.
All the jhana people make mansions and ladders. All conceit. Conceit is a disease. Conceit is a cancer. Conceit is a dart. It is with the surrounding of all conceits that he is called hermit stilled. All the conceits, everything hoard, everything, but you are undisturbed. He is called the hermit. The hermit who is stilled neither is born, nor ages, nor dies. He unshaken, Nakuppati, unperturbed, Nakuppati, and free from longing. He don't expect something for him to have his egotism. He need not any substrata. He has none of that whereby he might be born, not being born. Now shall he? How can he be aged? Not aging, how shall he die? Not dying, how shall he be shaken? Being unshaken, what shall he long for? So, it was the reference to this that it was said, steadied, whereon the tides of the conceits no more occur in him. And when the tides of the conceit occur no more, he is called hermit still. That's the end of today's discussion.